Lord, we thank you we can gather into your name. Thank you for this gathering. Lord, we are here because of your mercy and because of your love. Lord, we love you and we love your word. We pray you again, through the word, reveal yourself to us and reveal your heart's desire to us. Lord, we need you and we live by your word. Lord, we praise you and thank you. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, saints. This morning we come to Romans chapter 4. Of course, Romans chapter 4 follow Romans chapter 3. That's very clear. Last week, our brother shared with us concerning the righteousness. Amen. The righteousness of God.
Right.
And also, he covered the matter of the propitiation place. This time when we go over the book of Romans, I really enjoy this matter of propitiation place. This is in chapter 3. Of course, Romans, this book, is on the gospel of God.
Right.
And in the gospel, our brother used 5 verses in the beginning of Romans. He mentioned this matter of the righteousness of God. One verse was in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, concerning that in the gospel, the righteousness of God was revealed.
Yes.
Out of faith, to faith.
Amen.
And it mentioned also, it is written, the righteous shall have life and live by faith. The righteous shall have life and live by faith. It's an amazing thing. You know, this phrase, the righteous shall have life and live by faith. You may say, this tells us the whole book of Romans. In the beginning, you know, when we come to chapter 3, it mentioned about the righteousness of God. But if you read Romans 3, in the beginning, it mentioned that there is none righteous.
Right.
But Romans chapter 1:17 said, righteous shall have life and live by faith.
Yeah.
Where the righteous came from, right? There's none righteous.
Right.
In fact, so all of us, before we got saved, none is righteous. None. Even the word said, not even one. I just want to read a few phrases concerning this matter of non-righteous. This is in chapter 3, verse 10. And in chapter 11, says, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks out God. None of us, before we receive the Lord Jesus, seeks God. There is none who does good. But something happened that this morning we are here. We have life.
Amen.
We are the righteous.
Amen.
You know, before I got saved, I was I don't feel that, you know, the Christians said they are saved, you know, that's fair. Because the Christians are not better than me.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course, later on I received the Lord Jesus, so I met others. Others said the same thing.
Right.
But this morning, I declare God is righteous.
Amen.
And I'm justified also. the reason is, in chapter 3, it mentioned that, you know, this, we had one week, the entire week was on the chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Maybe we can read. We have here from chapter 3, I think 22. Maybe we can read this portion together. For even the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ to all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and come fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in His blood, for the demonstrating of His righteousness, in that in this forbearance God passed over the sins that had previously occurred, with a view to the demonstrating of His righteousness in the present time, so that He might be righteous and the one who justifies him who is of the faith of Jesus. God is righteous. But we all have fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. And then God has to do something. So God, through Christ's redemption, then He can justify us. In this portion, it mentioned that God set forth Christ as the propitiation place for the demonstrating of His righteousness. This propitiation place, in fact, is just the lid of the ark. You know, in the Old Testament, God told Moses to build a tabernacle for him as his dwelling place. And his dwelling place, the tabernacle, has the outer core, has the holy place, then has the holy of holies. Inside of the holy of holies is the ark. The ark is made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. It's kind of like a dresser, a chest. And I have one at home. Now we don't use that too much. Usually we have a dresser, you stand up, you just pull it out, pull in. But the dresser I have at home is one that you opened up. It's a chest, you know. There's a hinges. The ark is like that. It contains, inside there are three items. There is the, of course, the two tablets. And also there is the hidden manna, you know, in a jar, golden jar. Then there's the Aaron's rod, budded. These three things inside the ark. But the ark, as a dresser, it has a cover. But this cover is not like, you know, what I have at home. You open, then you close. This ark is a kind of cover you put on top. This ark, we may say, is the lid, L-I-D, of the ark, of the dress, of this piece of furniture. And on this ark, there are two cherubims. They are one piece. So God told Moses to build this tabernacle with this holy of holies, the holiest place, and with this ark. And God told Moses that he will speak to him, speak to the children of Israel from between the two cherubims on top of the ark, on that place. In the Old Testament, it's called expiation cover. In the New Testament, here we say it's the propitiation place or propitiation cover. You know, usually when the children of Israel, they offer a sacrifice, it's killed, then the blood is shed, is poured at the altar core. But at the same time, on the Day of Atonement, the blood was also brought into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on this lid, sprinkled on this cover. Usually, most of the Christians, we appreciate the Lord shed his blood for our sins on the cross. But we don't realize too much that this blood was also brought into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on this piece of furniture, on the cover of the ark. You know, the blood sprinkled in the outer core is visible. But the blood brought into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled over the ark on that cover, was not visible to the children of Israel. In fact, the blood, the effectiveness of the blood is in the Holy of Holies before God. So today, if we realize that, we will appreciate that this blood was not just shed on the cross, but also accomplished eternal redemption before God for all of us. So concerning the propitiation place, there are three words in Greek to describe this matter. One is propitiation sacrifice. And the second word is to propitiate. And the third word is propitiation place. The Lord Jesus, he gave himself. And we have this this also in last week's verses, in 1 John 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. This word in Greek is hilasmos. This word, in fact, signifies the sacrifice. So the Lord Jesus himself is the sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So, concerning propitiation, there is the matter of the propitiation sacrifice. Then there is also the matter of someone has to accomplish or propitiate. This is a different word. To make propitiation. This is in Hebrews 2:17. Hence, he should have been made like this, his brothers, in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So the Lord Jesus, he himself is the propitiation sacrifice. You know, this we all know. He's the Lamb of God to accomplish propitiation or redemption for us. So this is in Hebrews chapter 2:17. That word is hilaskomai, to accomplish propitiation. You know, we had the morning watch verses in Luke 18 concerning a tax collector went up to the temple to pray, and there was another Pharisee also prayed. But this tax collector went away forgiven, but not the Pharisee. This tax collector, he prayed, Lord be, yes. He's saying, God be propitiated to me, yes. The sinner. This is related to propitiate. So he applied the matter of propitiation to his sins. And the Lord accomplished this propitiation for us. So eventually, there is the propitiation place. The Lord Jesus, he is the propitiation sacrifice. He propitiated us for us with himself as the propitiation sacrifice. And eventually, he became the propitiation place for us to meet God. You know, this is truly wonderful. You know, this morning we are in this meeting hall, right? Well, we are here also enjoying the Lord speaking in his word. Where are we getting this speaking? According to the picture, God speaks to us from the ark, from the Holy of Holies, And on this piece of furniture, on the propitiation cover, this propitiation place, and with the cherubims on top. Cherubim signify God's glory, signify Christ as God's glory. So whenever, you know, when we meet together, when we come together, we are enjoying God speaking, enjoying God's word. God is in glory meeting us. God is speaking to us on top of this piece of furniture. If you go in, you will see this piece of furniture, this cover, is full of blood. Because every year the high priest has to go in and sprinkle it. So today we are here not because of anything of ourselves, but because the Lord has shed his blood for us. And today, you know, we say many hymns, you know, the Lord justified us, he's righteous, you know, he has shed his blood for us. This all we can see in this matter of the propitiation cover. So I'm just so thankful that today God is still with us. Amen. And God speaks to us. Right. And this his word revealed this matter to us. Amen. This is truly wonderful. But you know, when we come to Romans chapter 4, I don't know about you. In the past, I just don't understand this chapter. Because Romans 4, we read some of the verses, he mentioned about Abraham. Yeah. Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But there was no mention concerning shedding of the blood. There was no mention concerning the forgiveness. Then chapter 4, Paul used Abraham as an example. What is he trying to say? You know, I was lost. But this time when we go over, I appreciate the title, you know, the morning watch sheet you got. Yeah. We all got. Yeah. The morning watch sheet mentioned about God's purpose in justification, seen in the example of justification. Right. I don't know whether you understand this, you know, this phrase, when we go over the morning watch verses. Uh-huh. In the beginning, I don't understand, neither. But afterwards, it suddenly dawned on me that Paul was going forward, not just concerning, in chapter 3, concerning God setting forth Christ as the propitiation place through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, that in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that had previously occurred, that is, in the Old Testament. And also with a view to the demonstrating of his righteousness in the present time, that is with us, so that he might be righteous and the one who justifies him who is of the faith of Jesus. This is in chapter 3. It's very clear the shedding of the blood, the Lord accomplishing the work of redemption, and God set forth Christ as the propitiation place. God can justify us, and God can fellowship with us, and we can come to him, enjoy his presence, enjoy his speaking, enjoy his revelation, to get instruction for daily living, for going on with him. But in chapter 4, suddenly there's a turn that Paul bring up Abraham. And Abraham, we know, the verse said, you know, he was justified. But what does God justifying Paul, justifying Abraham, has anything to do with chapter 3? Okay, maybe we can read Genesis, then we can see a little bit. Concerning the matter of Romans 4. Okay, let's read chapter 15, verse 1 together. After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." Brothers, and Abraham said, "O Jehovah, what will you give me? For I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, sisters." Brothers, sisters, brothers, and he believed Jehovah, and he accounted to him as righteousness. So this portion was quoted in Romans, but this portion is concerning that Abraham will have a seed. Then I was lost, you know. In chapter 4, in chapter 3, these two doesn't connect, but in fact they are very much related, because the whole book of Romans reveal this matter concerning Abraham believed that he will have a seed, not his servant. This matter to have a seed, we know in Genesis, God promised Abraham will have seed as the sands of the seashore and also as the stars of heaven. And if we read the whole Bible, we will see the sand of the seashore refers to the children of Israel. And the stars of heaven refers to us, the New Testament believers. And in this portion, God brought Abraham out and showed him the stars in heaven. The Old Testament, in fact, God's purpose in calling Abraham was concerning the seed and concerning the land. The seed, Abraham's seed, of course, referring to Isaac, and eventually refers to Christ, because the seed of Abraham is singular. So it also refers to Christ. And the whole Old Testament reveals that God eventually, he gained a people. And through this people, he had a kingdom. And through these people, he built up a temple as his dwelling place. And this is God's purpose. And this is in the Old Testament. So today, to say the matter of the seed, in fact, God was speaking concerning his purpose. You know, last week, our brother also mentioned Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And this week, I think we also have Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So God wants to gain a group of people to express him and to represent him. In the Bible, the house is for God's dwelling, for God's rest, but also for God's expression. Of course, Old Testament, they build the tabernacle, eventually they build the temple. In fact, the physical tabernacle and the physical temple are actually not God's dwelling place. God doesn't need an apartment or a place to physically. But God's dwelling place, in fact, God's dwelling place is man. God wants a group of people built up to be his dwelling place. In fact, the children of Israel, they are God's dwelling place. You know, when the children of Israel, they turn away from God, then God left the temple. Of course, the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple, they both are types. In the New Testament, the reality is the church. In the New Testament, the church is that, you know, God's house, God's household. And the house, household. In fact, they're referring to the same thing in the New Testament. This is a, you know, tabernacle, temple. Then when the Lord Jesus came, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. So the Lord Jesus, He was the tabernacle. The Lord also told the Jews, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. So again, the Lord Jesus, He is the temple of God. But, you know, through the Lord's death and resurrection, the tabernacle temple was enlarged, includes all of us. So in this portion of the word, in Romans, we see that God uses Abraham to bring forth this matter that justification is not just for itself. The justification has a purpose. That's why, you know, in the morning watch verses on the top of the image, God's purpose in justification. So today, you know, we are here. The Lord has justified us. You know, that's wonderful. In fact, Martin Luther, you know, fought for this matter, that we are justified not because of our works, but rather it's by faith through the redemption of Christ that God justified us. But even that, you know, if we read the book of Romans, we will see that justification, in fact, is not just for itself, but rather it's for God's purpose. And today, God wants to lead us to go on from just being justified, you know, justification, there is the matter of position matter, and also dispositional matter. Maybe we can read chapter 4, verse 25 again. Chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. So the Lord was raised for our justification. This matter, the Lord resurrected, was for our justification. They can be applied in two ways. One way is, the Lord Jesus accomplished redemption on the cross. He satisfied all God's righteous requirements. And the Lord died, then resurrected. His resurrection was a proof that God was satisfied. So in this matter, we see it's a proof. It's what He has accomplished. But on the other hand, in Romans chapter 5, in 18, he mentioned about justification of life. Justification of life, which is 5:18. So then, as it were through one offense, unto condemnation to all men. So Adam, he had one offense. Then we all were condemned in Adam. So also, it was through one righteous act unto justification of life to all men. So justification is for the purpose that we may receive the life of God. That by the life of God, that we may live a life, a living, will be justified by God. So this is not just objective matter, but also a subjective matter. You know, there's a in chapter 8, it also mentioned the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So because God has justified us, Christ is our righteousness, then we can receive the divine life into us, that we may live a life justified by God. So we see this method of justification is not just a position, but it's also a disposition, a subjective matter. But even this method of justification is not just for ourselves, but it's for God's eternal purpose. Because in Romans chapter 4, Paul brought forth Abraham. And Abraham, in his being justified, God didn't say, you know, you did something bad, okay, because of the sacrifice, you can be justified. No, it was nothing to do with that. It was concerning that Abraham believed that he will have a seed. You know, in chapter 14, Abraham was very was victorious. He went to fight to rescue his cousin Lot, and he saved him, and 318 his household, you know, young man, and went to fight the four kings, and he defeated them. But in chapter 15, in the beginning, he was afraid. Therefore, the Lord, you know, came to him and said, "Do not be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your great reward." And Abraham thought, you know, you don't need to give me more. You go, all I have eventually will be my servants. And God said, "No, that will not be your seed. Your seed will be someone out of your being, and your seed will be like the stars of heaven." So Abraham believed. So Abraham believing was concerning the seed, was concerning that he will have a seed, Isaac, and his seed eventually will not just be one or two or 10 or 100. His seed will be like the stars of heaven. So there will be a people came out of him. This seed eventually in the Old Testament was the people of Israel, was what God gained for his kingdom and for his household. And to accomplish his purpose in the Old Testament. Right. But today, God's burden is not just to give us a type in the Old Testament. Right. God wants to gain the people in the New Testament. Amen. And this is the book of Romans. Amen. That God wants to gain all of us.
Amen.
That's why he justified us. You know, in Romans 4, he mentioned the God who Abraham believed. Is the God who called things not being as being. That means he is the creator. He can call things not being as being. Amen. But also he is the one give life to the dead.
Amen.
Of course, we all are created by God, but we were dead in sin. Amen. But Christ came to accomplish redemption, to be the propitiation sacrifice, to make propitiation for us, even become the propitiation place that we can come to him. But God's purpose is not just that. God wants to give us eternal life.
Amen.
So Romans is a book to make sinners the sons of God.
Amen.
And to make these sons grow up. You know, just last night we covered also the Thanksgiving conference, the second message concerning the designation of Christ as the firstborn son of God through resurrection. Christ was the seed of David according to the flesh. But he became the son of God, the firstborn son of God. This is in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. That in resurrection, now let me read to you that verse. Chapter 1. Verse 3, concerning the gospel concerning his son, who came out of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated, this Christ, God became a man, he was designated the son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness, out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gospel is concerning Christ. Concerning Christ has two natures. The human nature, as a man, he was a seed of David. But he was designated the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he was the only begotten Son of God. But when he became a man, the human part was not the divine Son of God. But through resurrection, out of resurrection, he was designated in power according to the spirit of holiness out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So resurrection was his designation as the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Why he needs to be designated Son of God? Because through resurrection, he was designated with his humanity as the firstborn Son of God. For the purpose that he will have many sons, many brothers. Many sons of God and many brothers of Christ. So Romans unveil this matter. So God's gospel is to make not just Christ the Son of God in his humanity, but also make all of us. He was divine, partake the human nature. We are human, we partake of the divine nature.
Right.
But God wants to, are we the same as God? God's Son? You look at me, I look at you. I don't think so. But we need to believe.
Right.
Because Abraham believed the one who called things not being as being. He also believed the one who gives life to the dead. That is God of resurrection. We were human beings. We became fallen. We were the old creation. But God wants to gain a new creation. God wants to gain a group of sons to become members of his body, manifested on the earth in each locality as the local church, composed of the sons of God. We need to believe this kind of God,
right,
creating God and the God of resurrection.
Amen.
We also need to believe, you and me, that God will make us,
right,
everyone, just like him, just like the firstborn, to be members of his body. This is the gospel, brothers and sisters. I'm just so thankful that we are in the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church, in the church, we are going through this process. The Lord was, he went through the process of resurrection to become the Son of God, the firstborn Son of God. Today, we all are going through this process. So I may not look, you know, today we may look at one another, you know, before you know, the worm became the butterfly. How do you call that? Caterpillar? You know, today we may be not the butterfly. we are that little hairy things. But God is working on us.
Amen.
God wants to make all of us.
Amen.
Transformed.
Right.
Conformed.
Amen.
Glorified.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the gospel.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful. You know, the word says, the blessing of Abraham may come to the Gentiles, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit. We have received the promise of the Spirit. And the Spirit is just the resurrected Christ. And he's in all of us.
Amen.
Day by day, we contact him. We enjoy him. We read his word. We get nourished. Day by day, we'll be transformed. So be patient with me. I am not fully transformed. But you are not also. But we are in the process.
Amen.
The important thing is remain in the process.
Right.
Amen. So God has a way. Thank you for the church life. Thank the Lord for the church life.
Right.
Thank the Lord every day we can enjoy the word.
Amen.
And the word, the life, will transform us.
Right.
So we all eventually, you know, in chapter 4 mentioned about the promise was given to Abraham to be the heir of the whole world.
Right.
Who is the heir of the whole world? Christ. But as the body of Christ, we share what he is, what he has. We share God's purpose. Praise the Lord. I just share my enjoyment. You can share yours. Amen. Maybe you can read, finish the verses, because I put the verses in Galatians chapter 3. Maybe you can read those verses first, then continue to the rest of the verses in Romans. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know then that they who are of faith, these are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles out of faith, announced the gospel beforehand to Abraham. In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. 3:14. In order, you, yeah. 3:14. In order. So these are the verses I mentioned earlier. Maybe we can finish here. Romans chapter 12 and 14. Concerning that, God wants to gain, the sons of God are in Romans 8. But the book of Romans doesn't stop there. It continues to the body and to the kingdom. Let's read together. For just as in one body, we have many members. And all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we see in Romans chapter 16, mentioned about the body eventually manifested in each locality as the local churches. Amen. I'll stop here.